It's time for Harley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scans, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Josh Dixon is the Prince George Cougars associate coach. And how does it feel to be one of those behind the bench of a team that has taken 16 years but did it, won in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, well, you know what? Didn't even realize that, to be honest with you, until afterwards. But what an incredible feeling. And to win a game like that, let alone to win a series like that, to do it at home with just an unbelievable crowd, probably the best crowd of the year. And you know, couldn't have probably written up a better script.
Were you nervous going into overtime of game six, or confident?
Confident. Honestly, confident. You know, once the game starts, then you get going and you forget about the nerves, and really believing that our group was going to find a way. And, you know, the second period wasn't very good, but I thought, you know, we got better again and got closer to playing our game there in the third. And you just felt like the group understood that somebody was going to step up. And sure enough, that man was Chase Wheatcroft.
Yeah, and who else but Jason? We could talk about him all day. But I just want to go back to that game for a little bit. And even when you're up 3-1 and 4-3, and I was mentioned on the broadcast, the Americans are not going away because they are facing elimination. And their best players, and they were in that game by far, were their 20-year-olds that had their careers on the line. So from that point of view, the fact that you knew they were facing elimination and you had a little bit of wiggle room knowing that if necessary, you could take it to a game seven, how much of a factor in your mind was that?
Well, I think it's always, you know, a factor, and it certainly was a factor come the second period. When all of a sudden now, you know what, we're really rolling, and they realize if they don't get their games together, boy, things are going to turn around to end their season in a hurry. So I felt like that was really a big factor in the second period, that gave them extra life. And it's a tough thing to do to close out a team, and it's a tough thing to do to match another team's energy level when there's that desperation, right? You always talk about urgency, and you try not to use the word desperation too often, but without question, it was desperation with their season on the line, and it's tough to match that, and we certainly saw that in the second period.
You're sitting in Kennewick, and you're down 2-1. What changed in the series?
It's a good question. I think without a doubt, I mean, the easiest thing, the low-hanging fruit, if you will, was just that shot funnel mentality of not trying to keep looking for the perfect shot, not allowing their players to get inside the zone, not allowing them to block shots and really, you know, play their defensive system. Once we started funneling and putting more pressure on their goaltender, I think that was a big factor.
You won those two games in Tri-City, 6-2 and 6-2. Now, maybe the score didn't quite indicate that it was as lopsided as it may have sounded. But those games, those results, had to tell you that you had the stronger team.
Well, we certainly, you know, felt that even after the first two games. We thought that we were the better team for the six periods, you know, plus the overtime. And we could have been up 2-0. Certainly had a call on that disallowed goal gone the other way, perhaps we would have been up 2-0. So we were confident coming in that we were the better team. We knew that they were going to certainly have a big, strong push their first game back at home in game three, which they did. And you know what? I felt like they were the better team in game three. But overall, you know, we really believe that if we manage the puck a little bit better and if we just continue to control our emotions, our discipline, we didn't take unnecessary penalties, that we'd prevail, and that ended up being the case.
What did you do, if anything, to celebrate? And I also want to know, right after the victory in game six, the coaches, they always get together. What did you guys say among the coaching staff?
Well, just congratulate them, and they were really congratulatory of us as well. And one of their assistant coaches, TJ Miller, he's a young coach, and I actually coached him when he was playing back in Calgary in a Hockey Canada Skills Academy program. We'd stayed in touch over the years, and he talked about wanting to be a coach, and he went through with the Toronto Maple Leafs last year in an internship program. So that was a really nice sort of embrace and chance to connect with him. Congratulated Stu Barnes, obviously his nomination for the U.S. Division Coach of the Year, and just told them what a great series we felt it was, that they really pushed us hard and brought the best out in us, and they wished us well moving forward.
No matter what happens from here on in, it has to be considered a successful season for the Prince George Cougars, correct?
Well, you do want to say that it has been successful to this point, absolutely. But certainly at this point where we're at, I don't think we're in a position to be looking back on the season or trying to sort of, make that overall review, whether, things went our way or not. Let's see, we still believe there's more work to be done here. We've talked about, trying to take steps forward with this organization and compete for a championship, and that's what we're still doing. So I'd say that's where our focus is right now, and we can review the season once it's over.
How much of an underdog role do you want to play up with your team as you take on Seattle?
Well, I think the important thing is that we believe we can beat them. There's no question they're the favorite, and the pressure is going to be on them. Not only do they have home ice, but they're a top team in the conference, in the league, and even in the whole CHL. A team that made a lot of moves to really add and try to ensure that they go all the way this year. So, like I said, I think it goes without saying that the pressure's on them, that they would be the favorite coming in. But we believe they're a team that we can beat. And certainly, we've seen the second half of the season really from February on how good we can play. And we can play with anyone and beat anyone. And we believe we're capable of doing it. And even if you go back, it's early in the year, but when we first saw Seattle, they had yet to lose a game, and we were the first team to beat them. So there's extra, I think, confidence in the fact that we were able to do that then, and we believe we're a better team now.
I look at the Seattle roster. I don't see any weaknesses. I see the top goaltender. I see a very strong defense and all kinds of firepower. Do you see some weaknesses?
Well, they're deep all the way through. There's no doubt about that. They have very good goaltending. They got a strong decor. They have skill up front. They can score. Weaknesses come in what you don't give up and what you take away from them. So, as I said earlier, if we can manage the puck well, if we can really create a forecheck, if we can get under their skin, if we can be physical against them, all those typical things you talk about in the playoffs, if you can do those sort of things, weaknesses certainly emerge. And any time, and you see it in different leagues all the time, the OHL saw in the first round, Windsor Spitfires added a whole bunch of players and were the first-ranked team and expected to go deep. Shane Wright and co. That came in there at the trade deadline, and they lost in 4 to the 8th seed. So it's why you play the games, and they're not a perfect team, and it's still junior hockey at the end of the day. And like I say, we're going to go at them with everything we got game one and hopefully bring out those weaknesses.
Here's what Prince George Cougar fans will say. 2007, second round, Prince George was a massive underdog against number one Everett. Oh, by the way, Everett that year had 111 points. You know who happened to have 111 points this year and finished number one? Oh, yeah, that would happen to be Seattle. Now, that's what Cougar fans are going to say. Will the coaches try to use that as well?
I think that's a really nice tie-in, and it just gives further proof to the idea that, regardless if you're the top seed or if you're, as we call it, the underdog going in, any team can be beat, and so you have to have that confidence and that belief, and we certainly do, that we'll be able to go in there and you got to win a game. The first two, you always talk about that, trying to split the series, and you can do that, boy, you put pressure on them. So I think that's great historical reference and certainly added motivation and added sense of belief that it's been done before by this team, and there's a lot of similarities, I'm sure, between that team and our team now.
With a 30-point difference, and Seattle obviously favored, I don't know if anybody's going to pick Prince George realistically to win the series. Is the pressure off? I mean, you've already mentioned the pressure is on Seattle. Can you utilize that to your advantage and say, guys, we don't have to put on a show. We don't have to worry about anything. People are not expecting us to win, all of those kinds of things? Or is there something different that I'm not seeing there?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about pressure being a privilege and something that you want to try to have with expectations and something that you can utilize. So I wouldn't say that there's no pressure on us. You know, there's the internal pressure that you put on yourself to keep performing to the best of your ability. We want to keep performing better as a team and keep getting better. And there's certainly areas we can keep improving upon from round one. And then, you know, you're competitive and we're all extremely competitive, and we're not just going down to Seattle to just have a skate and, you know, hand over the series to them. We're going down to try to beat them, and we're going down to push them as hard as we can possibly push them. So I think there's that pressure of the expectations you put on yourself and your own group, and that's always there, and I think that's a good thing.
Each game, each series, it's its own entity. And sometimes we try to look at history and we say, well, this is going to be a big factor, and it turns out to be something else. So here's the example of that. Prince George had the number two power play in the regular season. Tri-City was fraction behind number five, but just a fraction of a point behind. Yet in the series, six full games, they had one power play goal. You had one power play goal that really meant nothing because it came with less than a second left in a 6-2 victory. So in other words, it was the penalty kills that came through for both teams that were ranked near the bottom, and yet they're at the top of the playoffs. That's the way sometimes it works.
Yeah, I think that's playoff hockey, and you talk about some sort of historical reference. I remember the Boston Bruins, the year that they won the Stanley Cup in 2011, and Canuck fans certainly don't want to hear about that, but the year that they did win, their power play, I think, was bottom of the 16 teams that made the playoffs, and their penalty kill really carried them. And you know, you hear about that lots in playoff time, that goals are harder to come by. You get less power plays, and it's more difficult to score. And players certainly bring an added level of commitment and sacrifice to blocking shots and to playing defense that maybe isn't there every night in the regular season. So I can say that can probably account for the increase in you know, performance from the penalty kills and how difficult it can be on power plays. But for sure, that was an interesting storyline going in, and something that, I think speaks to how difficult it is to score in the playoffs.
Now, having said that, if we're talking realistically, I don't know how you could beat Seattle four games if your power play sputters like it did against Tri-City compared to how it excelled in the regular season.
Well, like I said, there's areas, you know, we look at our game from round one, things that we can improve upon. And, we have belief and confidence. You're the second best power play in the league for a reason. And those players that are out there, they're a threat to score. I thought we had some fantastic chances on the power play, especially as the series wore on, some really good looks. And sometimes it just doesn't go in that way. But at the end of the day, like I said, what's going to be really important for us is our defensive play and continuing to manage the puck well, to not give Seattle too many opportunities, both with the puck, on turnovers, and on the power play as well. We have to be disciplined and not take too many penalties. So we can't control how many power plays we're going to get. We want to be able to create chances. And most of the time with the power play, you talk about creating momentum. And I thought we certainly did that as the series wore on. I know the numbers don't speak to that, but at the same time, like I said, we had some very good looks, some really good chances. And, you know, we really didn't get that many opportunities on a per-game basis, which sometimes makes it difficult for a power play when you only get one and it's in the third period. Sometimes it's difficult to cash in.
You're listening to a Cat Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Josh Dixon is the Prince George Cougars associate coach. The coaches all season have said you had two goaltenders. Coaches always say that. But in this particular case, you needed two goaltenders, and it creates a great problem for the team going forward, correct?
Absolutely. And I don't think it was cliched. I mean, I think you're certainly right that at times, you know, coaches will say that of different teams, but there's no doubt that we had two number one goaltenders and have had two number one goaltenders all year. I think their past history will speak to that. I think the fact they have two drafted goaltenders will speak to that. and I would assume that man for man on our roster, everyone would say the same thing as well. And at different points in the year, we needed, you know, each goaltender to step up, and we certainly got that. And you're seeing that again here now. It's just been outstanding how both of them have contributed, how both of them have played some of their best hockey at their most meaningful times throughout the season.
The fact they get along so well, support each other, and I don't think that's just something that is said for the sake of being positive. I think that is realistic. But talk about the togetherness of the goaltenders. Talk about the togetherness of the room. Who are the leaders behind the scenes that you're aware of from a coaching staff? We all know who wears the C in Sampson. We all know the older guys. We know who's got the A's. But who do you think are there maybe the quiet leaders or the guys that are really, you know, is it Weeb and Wheatcroft because of their playoff success with other teams? Who is it that is leading the way in the dressing room maybe when things aren't going all that well?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. For sure, the experience of the older players, and in particular the playoff success that the Weeb had last year and Wheatcroft as well, that really helps our group. There's no question the leadership from our captain and from, you know, even a young player like Riley Height that wears an A, Hudson Thornton that's got an A on his jersey. Dubinsky is a positive leader and someone that brings a lot of fire and intensity and really wants to win. You know, and then every team needs some energy guys that are real good teammates as well. I think we see that in Blake Eastman. Fisher O'Brien's a real good teammate that way. And even a guy like Caden Glover, who's, you know, hasn't played every game, been in the lineup, he's a guy that brings a lot of positive energy and is a real good teammate in the dressing room. So all those players really factor into to ensuring that we have a tight-knit room, which we certainly do. And we've said that, and I think that, you know, the players especially, they've been saying that since day one of this season, that it's a really close team off the ice. And usually when you have a team that close off the ice, you have success on it. We're seeing that this year.
Loading up the Seattle roster, you take a look, they now have Lambert, Gunther, Duck, Rokoff. I could go on and on. Guys that were not with them at the start of the season, these are high-end players that are with them at the end of the season. What scares you the most? Maybe that's not the best word, scares, but what concerns you the most about the Seattle Thunderbirds?
Well, I don't think it's, I think your point, not scared, but they're certainly a team on paper that's capable of doing a lot of damage offensively, that's extremely deep with their forwards, their defense, and their goaltenders. They've got a number one goalie who's just won a World Junior gold medal, so they're not just deep, but they're a team that's won. You look at that core of that team that's back from last season. They won a heck of a run last year all the way to the league final, lost to Edmonton, so they know what it's like to go on a deep run, and they have players who have on the team this year NHL experience. So you put that all together, it's the makings of a real good team. But, you know, like I said, that's on paper, and ultimately it's how well are they going to stay together as a group? How supportive are they going to be? Are they going to be a team first group, or, you know, are there going to be some individual agendas because guys, you know, with their status and with some of their individual aspirations? So, you know, that always gets factored into it as well. And that's where you really got to believe that having such a tight-knit group like we do and players that believe and support each other like our team does, that can really factor in for a positive in our favor.
You put any stock into the fact that Kelowna, the eighth seed that really nobody gave any chance to, gave them competitive games? Yeah, I realize Kelowna didn't win, but in game one, it was 2-0 Kelowna with 1 minute left in the second period. Seattle wins 3-2. In the next two games, that Seattle wins 4-1, they need unanswered goals in the third period because they were either tied or behind after the second. And then in game four that they won a 3-0, it was 1-0 after two. In other words, the Thunderbirds, way better team on roster, needed a third period, very strong third period, to put away the Rockets in each of those games. And Kelowna nowhere near the team. That's why they're the eighth team. How much stock do you put into that?
Well, the stock you put in it is into your preparation and breakdowns and looking at those games, you know, since our series ended, in particular the last two. To your point, I mean, Kelowna was right there with them. I thought Kelowna had every opportunity, especially in game four, to take the lead. And it's 1-0 going into the third period, and Kelowna's outchancing them at that point. It shows you that as good as they are on paper, they're not a perfect team. And this is still junior hockey. And you know, teenage junior hockey players have ups and downs, and they pick their spots sometimes. And, you know, they're a team that's capable of being beat. And so it's part of the preparation that adds to us, not only knowing what Seattle's going to do and what are their tendencies and their tactics, but also, you know, where are they weak and where are they capable of being beaten. And I think that series shows us that they maybe aren't a team that's played a full 60 minutes yet, and that adds to that adds to our favor going into game one.
So when people think of the Prince George Cougars, they think of the five guys in the power play, but all average a point per game or a lot more, like in Wheatcroft's case. And then there's Height, and of course, Zimmer and Gorton and Sampson. And then you also think of Cougars like Weeb and what he's done. And yet, Funk, Brown, Dubinsky all led the way with 7 points in six games against Tri-City. What does that tell you?
Playoffs, depth, what it takes to win, right? You need your so-called, secondary players, maybe isn't the right way to put it, but you have your typical top five guys that score all the time in the power play. We've talked about that. And you see every year when a team wins the Stanley Cup, and a lot of times they talk about their third line center really making an impact, or somebody stepping up and finding a way to score goals, or offense from your third and fourth lines, and all of those things we saw, and that really contributed big time for us. And then even, you know, getting depth scoring from our back end, Bauer Domanski having two goals in a game was massive for us. So, you need a complete team to win in playoffs. And a lot of times, as they say, it's not the typical guys that score every day in the regular season that end up contributing. And we saw that in round one.
You guys averaged over four goals per game in the regular season and then a little over four goals against Tri-City. Realistically, it's hard to imagine you can keep that up against Seattle. If you're to get to three goals, that's an accomplishment. Considering their goaltender that you've talked about, Milic, and all the records he set, and being part of Team Canada and all that. You got a great backup if they ever had to go there as well, their defense. The style of play, do you have to grind 2-1, 3-2 wins in this series, or do you play the same way you did against Tri-City?
Well, we need to continue to play our style of hockey. We need to make sure that we're really difficult to play against in all three zones. As I've said a few times, that we're really responsible with the puck, that we don't try to get into necessarily a track meet. Each game is its own entity, but you would think that would favor them. Not that we can't play that way, but you'd certainly rather limit the chances that you give up and continue to play a tight, strong game. And, you know, one of the real focuses against Tri-City was net front play, both in front of ours and in front of theirs. And that's, I think, a page we can take out into next series, being strong in front of our own net, blocking shots, boxing out, not giving up secondary scoring chances off of rebounds. And then conversely, in front of our opponent's net, really doing a good job getting traffic, tipping pucks, creating rebounds, and creating and capitalizing on secondary opportunities. So that's going to be a big factor for us as well. And we've seen a blueprint over the six games we just played of how we can play our best hockey and how we can have success. You don't abandon that. You try to continue to build on it. And that was our focus today.
Other than skill, what's the difference between Seattle and Tri-City, or is it just skill?
They play just a different type of game, and it's a different lineup, but there's a different sort of mentality in the way that they play, the way that they attack, how they transition the puck. Their offensive zone play, it would be more dynamic, less north and south and direct, with Tri-City throwing it at the net as much as they can. You get a lot more seam passes and secondary D down backdoor type of looks with Seattle. So it'll be a different focus for sure.
Can you put any stock into the regular season matchups? I know the Cougars are the first team to hand them a loss. Their team looks a lot different now. Now, Seattle did win 8-1. You had the flu bug. It was amazing you guys could even put a team on the ice. Considering all of that, and that it seems like it was years ago, can we put any stock into what happened in the regular season?
I think it just gives us confidence. We know we can beat them. And I would agree with you that their team is better than the game we beat them, but I would also say that our team is much better than that game as well. At that point, they were undefeated in the league, so you know they were certainly rolling along well, and the fact that we're able to beat them should give us that extra bit of assurance that, hey, if we play our game and everybody's committed and everybody's dialed in, we can certainly beat this team. The last game in there, and, you know, we were so sick right through our roster from our goaltender out, so that one you throw out because, as you say, we maybe shouldn't have even played that game. But the game that we beat them, even the three in a row, you know, we played them three straight games, and I thought we played them well all three games. It's a long time ago, but it adds to the fact that it's always nice to go in the playoffs knowing the team you've played, you've beaten. I think that's just an extra bonus.
As an associate coach, are you excited about this, or how would you describe yourself?
Excited about
going into the Western Conference semifinal against Seattle.
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. The amount of time and work you put in, and you know, you're away from your family, and you're at the rink, you're on the road, and everything is about trying to win a championship, and everything's about trying to continue to take steps forward as a team, as an organization. Absolutely. That was one of the best moments I've had in hockey, winning that game six at home in overtime. And you know, this is the next challenge, and something that I know as an entire coaching staff and all the players were ecstatic about the challenge to go and beat this top team. So absolutely thrilled. And you know, it's such a special opportunity to be in the second round of the playoffs and with the chance, we believe, to keep moving on and keep playing.
And why I ask that is that some coaches, they try to keep that stone cold face and say they really don't have time to be excited because they're thinking about what's next and everything like that. How important is it, you think, that the players see the emotion of the coaches? And there's a wide range of age, you know, whether it retired, you know, Rigby's barely 30, not quite 30 yet, you're mid to late 30s, you know, Mark's into his 50s. There's a wide range of experience, a wide range of age. Is it important for the coaches to show the players that they're as excited and thrilled and pumped and all these things as the players?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we talk about how this is the best time of year, and without a doubt, those players can see that we really believe that, and that's something that we're living each and every day, that, you know, you're always excited to come to the rink and grateful to come to the rink every day during the regular season, but playoffs is something else and something really special. And, you know, they certainly see that, and they see our desire to win, our competitiveness, but also how much we enjoy being around them, being around the rink, and enjoy winning and moving on this time of year. And that was evident, I would say, throughout that series, but certainly at the end when we did pull it off.
You guys agreed to a 2-3-2. It ended up working out in your favor. Seattle really wasn't interested in a 2-3-2, so it's gone to 2-2-1-1-1. Is that a concern at all with you doing the extra travel, anything like that, or that doesn't even play into it?
No, I don't think it plays into it. It's a regular series, and you got to win four games, so that's the biggest concern.
Right. As you take a look at, you know, looking ahead, when you look at this particular series, and, you know, we've tried to look in depth, are there some of those intangible things that we haven't really discussed that are going to have to work in your favor for the Cougars to pull off the upset?
Well, I mean, you're always going to need to have, you know, some bounces go your way. I think you earn those, and you earn those by, you know, being prepared, being totally committed, by sacrificing and committing to a higher level than that, even from the first round. And then, you know, continuing to get better at all areas of your game. And we talked about some specific areas that we think we can get better at. So if those things, you know, are part of our play, certainly in game one, and you want to be disciplined. You can't control the referees, but you can certainly control your discipline and your sticks and your attitude, staying positive and staying off the referees and just playing hard. Then usually you'll get a break or two. And then, you know, typically when you get those breaks, it might not even just be a break that's a goal. It might have a break you have to take advantage of. And so when you look back, and I'm sure all teams think the same thing, when you look back in the series, when you don't win, you think about the opportunities you had that maybe didn't capitalize on. So the opportunities that we we do earn and we do find come our way, we need to make sure we take advantage of, especially in the first two games down there.
Your first practice after the series win against Tri-City, was it any different than any other Tuesday practice? Was it the same? If there were differences, tell us what they were.
I think the excitement is another level, and the players realize, hey, we're still going, and we just won a series, and now we have a new task in front of us. So the excitement level is high, the energy level is high. It's great that the players, they had a day off yesterday and got a chance to regroup and re-energize, and now it's full steam ahead. Everyone's excited to get on the road tomorrow, get down to Seattle, and I think just, it's not the same old Tuesday. Certainly, the practice and the way you operate, you try to keep it the same. But, you can tell it's round two of the playoffs.
It's obvious the crowd helped the team. The crowd's basically double what they normally were in the regular season, just shy of 5,400 for game number six. From your perspective, how much of a difference did the crowd make? Did the team talk about the energy from the crowd? How much did that play into it?
Oh, I think it played in tremendously. And I saw a graph with CHL attendance, and ours was second in the entire CHL in attendance, average regular season to what the attendance was in the playoffs. And then that's just massive. It's unbelievable to see that. And really, the support has been tremendous throughout the season. We've had some really big games throughout the season with attendance, but the playoffs was another level, and game six, as I say, was just an absolute treat. So the players, coaches, staff, everybody can feel that and feed off of that, and I think that gave us the extra energy we needed to get the win.
Yeah, Prince George, number two when it comes to attendance percentage increase going by the regular season to the playoffs. In reality, though, it should be number one because there was a special Connor Bedard factor that came into Saskatoon. They get pretty decent crowds, but watching Bedard four times obviously jacked those numbers up into a great big arena where they were getting, into five figures that they ordinarily don't even come close to. So it's really an unfair comparison. If we throw that out, the Bedard factor out, the Cougars were number one in terms of all that, and that does say a lot for Prince George.
Absolutely, that's a great point. I mean, they had 15,000 and some odd for Game 7, so I think you're exactly right. And always nice to be number one, so that's great, and that's a real credit to the office staff and all the work that they do to promote the team, and obviously to the people of Prince George, the fans that come out and support the team. It's been tremendous to see.
That's why I mentioned, Chase Wheatcroft, sort of number two in WHL scoring, but you take the Bedard factor out because, he's his own entity. He's his own league. Wheatcroft is actually number one among the mortals.
Well, but that tells you something, right? It's unbelievable. And from regular season and playoffs, boy, he's had an unbelievable season and very deserving of his pro contract.
Right. And then you have Weeb. And I don't think you can disagree with this. To me, it's very clear. He had by far the most important goal of the series when he scored overtime game number two. And it's not a coincidence. He didn't score the overtime winner in game six, but he certainly set it up on a 2-on-1.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. Nice to see him on both ends of it, right? To score the winner in Game 2 and then assist the winner in Game 6. He's a clutch performer, and you look at his Memorial Cup last year and some of his playoff performances. He's a real overtime player, and he's continued to show it for us this year.
And ancient history, we don't have to review it, but some guy by the name of Weeb did score what we thought was a 5-5 goal in Game number 1, but after a lengthy review, the net was somehow just sort of put off its support by the goaltender, and it wasn't allowed. But it's good now that you can look back at that and have a good laugh, correct? Because at the time, there was a lot of anger.
Well, at the end of the day, we won the series, and so, I won't comment on that, but certainly nice that we won the series and that didn't play a pivotal role in deciding who would move on.
Other than Weeb's goal, which clearly was the biggest of the series in Game 2, you know, Wheatcroft, you can make a case, would be the second most important because he scored the overtime in Game 6. Was there a point in that Tri-City game, a goal that maybe we're not thinking about or something that happened? Maybe it was Game 4 when you guys are down 2-1 or something like that. Was there something that was really huge that sort of got underplayed?
Well, I think, you know, when we look at Games 4 and Games 5, some of the goals that were maybe less spectacular or less highlight worthy. But I think of Brown throwing a puck on the net, Dubinsky throwing a puck on the net, Umansky firing a shot through. Some of these goals that were just pretty meat and potatoes, but very effective with a shot mentality, getting traffic at the net, really starting to tilt to favor in our side. And you'd mentioned it earlier, those 6-2 games both were much closer than a 6-2 score. And if not for some of those goals when the game is hanging the balance, perhaps it would have been closer than that right to the end. So when I look back, I think that those are some of the goals that really kind of pushed us over the top.
Your final thoughts that you want to pass along to the Prince George Cougar fans that are obviously, you know, they can't wait for games 3 and 4, Tuesday and Wednesday. Of course, it starts on the weekend in Kent with a couple of games there. Anything that you want to say to the fans? Anything that I did not bring up in our interview here that maybe a point you want to pass along or something like that?
I just want to, you know, thank the fans for their support. And we talked about the attendance, but once again, it's been just phenomenal. And again, we feel that, you know, as a team, the players feed off of that, brings extra energy. And it's been so, so nice to see the fever in town for the Prince George Cougars. And so we'll continue to do everything we can to keep this rolling and continue to have success. And we look forward to coming back on home ice and having our support again for game 3 and 4.
Now, I notice, and I'm just part of the broadcast team, when I'm out in the public, people are, you know, they can't wait to talk PG Cougars. Are you finding that yourself as an associate coach when you're out now that everybody wants to talk Cougars at this time of the year?
Absolutely. I don't get out much, I'll be honest with you, but you know, certainly my son on his hockey team, which is done now, is Timbits, but you hear from their coaches and parents, and they're coming to the games, they're excited, they're wishing you well. So that's outstanding. And like I said, you can feel the fever, the buzz in town, and we want to do everything we can to keep that going. It's great to experience that. It's great to experience playoff hockey, and we want to continue to win games and bring people out and entertain the fans of Prince George.
Appreciate your time. All the best against the Seattle. Take care.
Excellent. Thanks, Harley.
Josh Dixon is the associate coach of the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.